Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, a sommelier will, of course, make suggestions to match your food and wine. But in some states in the US where cannabis has been legalized, there are sommeliers who add a third element, pot. Philip Wolf runs marijuana pairing dinners in Denver, Colorado. Philip, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
Not too bad. So could you describe for us, actually, first, could you describe for us the kind of training that you've received? Because there are now formal courses people can take.
Yeah. So the training that I started off with was basically self-taught. My background comes from working with the plants. And I started dispensaries in 2009 and then started doing grow consulting across the state for a few years before working on ancillary businesses, some of that being tourism. And ultimately, I wanted to create wine-style cannabis experiences for people. And so as I really started exploring the options, I started playing around with cannabis pairings and food pairings. And ultimately, I discovered and learned about terpenes, which are organic aromatic compounds of cannabis, which also give you your mood benefits. And I conceptualized the idea to pair terpene profiles of cannabis with flavor profiles of food for harmonization, which in turn is just a really fun platform to educate people. Mm. And so with the background of working with the plant, I just started developing my skills ultimately, which I'm still doing to this day and will continue to be doing for a long time.
Now, for the terpenes, is it like wine to the extent that you can find different sorts of tastes that go with various foods, plus also different levels of strength, the same way you would have different alcohol by volume amounts in wine?
Yeah, correct. So there's over 215 types of terpenes within cannabis. And there's a predominant about 12 to 15 that reside in most strains. And there's different levels of it. So, you know, there can be up to 10, 15 different types of terpenes within cannabis at different levels, which creates different types of smells and taste, ultimately. So, yeah, there's a lot of different flavors that we can play around with. Mm. And as far as strength, you know, as far as like alcohol percentage, you know, it goes with the THC percentage. So THC, which is what gives you the euphoric feeling, which makes you feel inebriated, and terpenes are actually what give you your different types of moods and different types of feelings. And so you can have strains that are, you know, 12 to 15%, which is kind of on the low side for Colorado right now, all the way up to 30% THC percentage.
Right.
So you can have, you know, anywhere from, you know, almost a light cocktail to a heavy shot.
Okay, so to give people an idea of how this works exactly, I have in front of me a typical menu that you might present on the nights that you organize for when it's food and cannabis mm-hmm. and wine. So you have, for instance, a ribeye steak with chili relleno, a 2013 Malbec, and Gorilla Glue. Now, I assume Gorilla Glue is the name of cannabis.
It's a strain.
Yeah. So how is that consumed? How much of it do you consume? Is it, do you take it beforehand, afterwards, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of people think cannabis pairings are like cannabis infusions, where, you know, a lot of chefs go in and they infuse food with THC to give you, you know, a sort of an edible type of, or your brownie type of feeling. Mm. Now, what we do with pairing is through smoking. And so the process is smoke first, eat second, drink third. That's what we take people through. But there's more than that. You know, it's a culinary experience. So you can play around with it however you'd like to, you know, and have fun with it.
Right.
And
okay.
We even teach people a special way to inhale, you know, to really get all the flavors of the cannabis. You know, a lot of people think that you just smoke and smoke, but there's actually a process to in order to get the full amount of flavors. And so we teach people to focus, you know, to really break open the cannabis and get your nose in it and smell it and start identifying those aromatic attributes and also, you know, how dense it is and how it feels on your fingers. You can also feel a lot of the THC crystals and stuff if it's very heavy at that point. And then the proper way to actually burn the bowl to conserve as much flower as possible. And then to focus on taste that you have on the inhalation to focus on tastes that you have on the exhalation because they are different.
Right.
We teach people to fully expand their lungs because holding it in doesn't get you higher. It just cuts off oxygen to your brain. Now, if you what gets you higher is fully expansion of your lungs to create a more surface area so it can get into your bloodstream. But once smoke goes through that surface area of your lungs, that's it. Nothing else will go through it until you exhale it out.
Right.
And then, you know, we tell people to do like a coffee roaster would do and do a cupping motion. So you smack your tongue to the roof of your mouth to get your saliva swirling. And that has the overall taste with it within your saliva. So you can kind of judge the overall flavor of the strain of cannabis that you're pairing with.
Right. And say in that instance, you paired the Gorilla Glue with the Malbec and the ribeye steak. Why Gorilla Glue?
Yep.
What qualities does it have that matches it up to that?
Yeah, so the Gorilla Glue has a very earthy tones to it with some grape to it. And so it's almost like you taste like a slight grape on the inhalation, but then kind of a heavy grounding, almost like a cacao taste on the exhalation. And so typically with like a big juicy ribeye, you know, you're going to have those earthy, heavy tones to it, but, you know, you can brighten it up a little bit. You know, with a fruity taste, you know, especially like grape with steak would work really well. And then the Malbec, you know, a big juicy Malbec from Argentina would be perfect with that.
Mm. Yeah, because I suppose, and I know I'm stereotyping here, but most people listening might think, you have a hit off a bong and then you eat your body weight in nachos. It doesn't really matter what you eat afterwards because you'll eat anything.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the best part about this is cannabis, what it does is it enhances your senses. So that's why food tastes better, and people will just munch on anything because it does enhance your taste buds. And so, you know, imagine doing that, but imagine eating the best meal of your life whenever your taste buds are enhanced, and it's going to provide you with a much better experience.
Now, in Colorado, I know it is legal, but it's not legal to smoke it in public, I assume, or outdoors.
No.
Yeah. So it does that present you with a problem? With if, you know, and you do it in private places, but if you have 12 people at a table and they're smoking and then they're eating, the place might be a bit smoky. How do you get over that?
Well, yeah, so there's I've heard two questions within that. So the first one, you know, as far as where we can consume at, these do have to be private events. And so we do a lot of like in-home events that people will do at their own household or Airbnb. Are these community housing shared programs are getting really big here in Colorado. So a lot of people will come out and rent mansions out, you know, and host their family, and then we'll come in and perform. With our tours, we actually consume in the limousines. So we have public tours that people can sign up for, and then they can go on the limousine, and we can consume there. And then we also do big dinner, private dinner functions, you know, so we'll work with businesses, corporations, and they want to put on a big dinner function and invite some of their employees or some of their business associates out too. That's what we see mostly within the regulations. You know, I've worked in this for so long, I know how to deal with all the regulations and work within the legalities of them. So experience comes really big at this point.
Right,
as far as everything feeling really smoky, I mean, you know, a lot of people, it's not like they're just smoking the entire time. You know, a lot of people are just taking one hit with each dish, and that's it. You know, we really talk to people about mindful consumption of cannabis. If you overconsume and you're not fully present, then it's not, and you're over inebriated, it's not going to be as fun as if when you are, because the other benefits of cannabis outside of the THC, which gives you the euphoric feeling, you know, it's stuff that can get you very in tune with your surroundings. And so that's what we see. You know, we don't see people overly consuming. We see people consuming just enough to feel good and to understand the taste. But then, you know, they don't get themselves over inebriated, so they can stay within these, you know, mindful and inspiring conversations that are going on at the dinner, which we see a lot of because people are experiencing something they've never experienced before. So, you know, you really see these excitement come out for people and people's minds working and seeing things in a different light, and that's coming out within their conversation. So it's really special to see it.
And the dinners you organize, is it your recommendation that it's better to smoke the cannabis rather than consume it in, you know, in a cookie or some sort of integrated into the actual dinner
so
itself?
It, Mm-hmm. So it provides for a better experience, in my opinion, to smoke instead of eat it at a dinner party experience like we provide, because smoking, you can feel the effects almost immediately, where ingesting it, it takes time for it to kick in. Also, people aren't really aware of how much they can consume or not consume, and so you find a lot more hesitation, and there's a lot more variables within the night, if you will, at that point. So we used to, and also the tasting and how we do stuff, you know, the smoking, you know, it flows as far as the educational pieces, you know, as far as being able to taste and then talk about it and being educated on it. So it flows for that aspect of it better. We do some events where we do infusions as well. We did a 6-course dinner on 420 the other night, and some of the dishes were paired with cannabis. Some of the dishes were infused with it. And then some of the dishes were infused with other cannabis compounds, such as CBD and terpenes in it. So it's really just a very creative 6-course dinner that we put together with some world-class chefs.
In the states where cannabis has now been legalized for recreational purposes, I assume this has just spawned a massive business, a range of businesses to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with California coming on board, I mean, that's one of the biggest economies in the world. And so, obviously, you know, with what I've seen over the past handful of years and the different types of businesses opening up, I can only imagine once we're able to bring in the consumerism that's going on in California into this and seeing what people want to buy, because I have a feeling we're just beginning to scratch the surfaces on different types of cannabis products and different types of cannabis services.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, you know, and for us, you know, our whole goal has been, you know, to eventually be up in Napa and Sonoma regions of California, because ultimately that's where I believe the, you know, cannabis capital of the world will reside at, is in that area. And that's obviously the, you know, the area known for wine production and food production in the United States.
And is it dealings with banks? Is that okay? I did read an article a while ago that I don't know if it's in Colorado necessarily, but some people who work in the cannabis business, legal cannabis business, are still finding it difficult when it comes to dealing with banks.
Oh, banking. Yes. So if you work in any aspect of the industry where you are producing or distributing cannabis, then you cannot bank, because all the banks are backed by federal funding. And this is still a federally illegal drug. So it makes it tough to bank. Now, with insular businesses, you can find banks that will take you on. So I, with my company Cultivating Spirits, I am able to bank, which is great. But I also, with the Trump administration coming on and the uncertainty of how he's going to treat cannabis, I've actually recently spoke with some insular businesses that are starting up. And they are not able to get bank accounts right now. The banks don't want to take any sort of risk.
Interesting times. Philip Wolf is a weed sommelier. Yeah. His company is called Cultivating Spirits in Colorado. Philip, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I hope to be out in Ireland one day. I'd love that.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.